This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
This episode of Best of the Rest is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with over 200,000 titles to choose from. Go to nerdylegion.com/audible, sign up for a trial membership, and receive 2 free audiobooks. That's audible.com.
All right, so another previews episode.
Yes. Gosh, it seems like these come around like once a month now.
Exactly, or like once every like 3 weeks.
Yes. Although previews was delayed a week this month because of San Diego Comic-Con. Now, I don't know why. I don't see the correlation.
Another reason for me not to go.
Yes.
Other than the crowds. They delay the previews.
Exactly. Damn them. Damn them.
And we know how we love our previews.
Yes, we do. I really enjoy it. Especially like the newsprint.
Oh, you don't like the ad in there where they're saying where the previews is all digital now and you can sit there and go through it on your tablet?
I actually downloaded that app and it sucks.
No. It was just, you just weren't messing with the features, right?
No. And I have a very high-speed wireless here at the house. I'm getting like 60, at least 60 megabyte downloads.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to download previews. It took an hour and 12 minutes, I think, to download. There's no reason for that. There is no reason for that at all. Because it's not my tablet, and it's not my wireless network. I don't know. And then trying to maneuver through was not clear. It was slow going, flipping pages. It may improve it, but right now it is not a good app. So I deleted it.
Oh, well, they're just wanting feedback. You're supposed to go use it and give them feedback.
Well, yeah, I probably should. It blew chowder as far as I was concerned.
And I guess you can leave that as a 3-star review, and it blew chowder as the comment.
Yes, I might do that, but... Anyway, we got some good feedback on our new format from last time, so we're going to continue with that.
Yeah. It actually gets it more concise, and we can put some, you know, thought into it. It's a little bit more work for us, but, you know, probably a little bit more organized for our viewers.
Well, you know, and they're worth it. They're worth the effort that we have to make.
Exactly.
Because we're almost up to a dozen listeners now, I think.
Yeah, I know. That's why I keep referring to them as viewers.
Right.
When the number gets up there, then I will correct myself.
Sounds good.
There we go. All right. So shall we just dive into this goodness that is August of 2018 previews?
Yes.
And book shipping September?
October.
Ooh, October.
Yeah. 2 months out. So the August will ship in October.
Oh, that's right. Because you've got the Halloween Comic Fest and you've got the list in there of what's going to be given away at Free Comic Book Halloween Day.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. And I thought we might cover that later, maybe late in September, early in August. We tell everybody now, it's not going to be, they're not going to remember. So.
This is true. So, all right. So we'll skip all over that. So let's get into our premier publisher. And I guess our first is Image.
Okay. Well, you go first.
Oh, and you know, I didn't pick this one, but what do you think about that cover for Maneaters?
That was a pretty interesting cover.
Made me want to go back and see what was the cover for one, but
it was not any nearly that. Trying to think of a word.
Creative.
Creative, yes, it was not. But yeah, it was an interesting cover.
So. Yeah. So I suspect that we probably both picked this one, but I picked Dead Rabbit 1, issue 1.
I did as well.
Yes. So. It's a 90s era Boston stick-up man that had retired, and now he's got some business to take care of, some bills to pay, so he comes out of retirement.
Yes, and this is written by Jerry Dugan, which he's also been writing the series Analog, if you're familiar with that.
Yep.
Which is, I've enjoyed that very much.
So, yeah, so I expect this one to be a little bit more based in contemporary real time. And I don't know, the art looks good. The premise looks good. I'm definitely getting this one on my pull list to check out.
Yes, I'm going to check that one out too. Flipping back two pages, my other choice was Blackbird.
A neo-noir fantasy?
This neo-noir fantasy, Nina Rodriguez, is positive that a secret magic world ruled by ruthless cabals is hiding just beneath the veneer of Los Angeles. The problem is, everyone thinks she's crazy. The bigger problem, she's not crazy. She's right. Right. I don't know. I'm not sure I'm going to get this one, but it looks intriguing. It's written by Sam Humphries,
mm-hmm.
who was writer for Green Lanterns for a while and then Nightwing.
Oh, so this is where it's going to tell you at the very beginning on the page, just repeat something characteristic about the main protagonist.
Yes. Hello, my name is whatever protagonist is going.
Oh, yeah, that's how it went. Hi, my name is.
And the artwork on this is done by Jen Bartel, and they put in a couple pages of sample art, and I'm intrigued by it. It looks, I like the way they've done that.
Yep. So, well, my second one from Image, and you got to go about, I don't know, 50 pages ahead, is Infinite Dark 1. So, you know, the first three words in the description is what got me. The universe ended. But on board the void station Orpheus, a skeleton crew of humanity survived the last 2,000 souls, waiting for a second big bang that may never come. So I am intrigued on how the science, you know, how the creator is going to discuss how basically the universe ended and now you've got this space station that's kind of outside space-time or whatever, and it's waiting for another big bang. I'm right. Very intrigued by that. I mean, there's something in there about there's a murder and everything, but I'm more interested in the background story. And I'm wondering if they'll be getting that up front or, you know, it'll just never be explained. You're just in that situation. So I'm setting myself up to where I could be disappointed.
I'm interested in this, too. And I almost picked this as one of my picks. Ryan Cady is the writer, artist by Andrea Moody. But I'm with you. I'm kind of interested in how it got to this point, the backstory of, you know, how they're outside of the universe, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And they're waiting for a big bang, and I don't know, the way big bangs usually go, you have that, you know, very hot, soupy, primeval or primordial start where it's so hot that, you know, you just got basic subatomic particles like quarks and muons. So when, you know, matter can't even stay together. How are they going to ride through this? So, should be interesting.
I can't imagine that would be much of a pleasant experience. But
I'm sure it wouldn't last for long.
No.
And I guess as a side, I almost picked the next book on the next page, Juke Joint, but I'm sorry, Infinite Dark just really intrigued me.
I looked at that one too. I may get all of these.
Yeah, there was some good stuff coming. There's some good number ones coming out from Image. That I like this month. It was kind of hard to choose down the two. But that's what we're supposed to do, but we've kind of like not since we've mentioned other books. So,
well,
but we're already off track for the first part.
What can I say?
So, okay. So I think we've given Image, you know, quite a bit of love so far. So let's move on to Dark Horse.
Okay.
What do you have coming out in Dark Horse? We might have some overlap in this one, too.
The first one I chose was Umbrella Academy, Hotel Oblivion.
Oh, yes, we have overlapped. I have the first two miniseries that came out of this. Really loved them, so, you know, I'm definitely getting this one.
Yes, and they're going to be, those first two volumes will be re-released, so they will be on your Cowabunga order form if you're getting Cowabunga, if anyone wants to get those that haven't. But yeah, this is written by Gerard Way, who you may know as sort of the creative force behind DC's Young Animal series.
Yeah, but he did this Umbrella Academy several years ago for Dark Horse before Young Animal.
Well, yes.
So, But I am curious. You got the one page where Sarah's got the Umbrella Academy Hotel Oblivion. Is the second page part of it? What is the second page there? That must be the that's the variant cover.
Variant cover, yes.
Okay, because I see Gas Panic, and I'm thinking, well, that's another comic, but...
Yeah. No, it's a variant cover by Gabriel Ba.
Maybe that's the villain in the Umbrella Academy Hotel Oblivion.
Could be.
You know what? We'll find out in a couple of months.
We will.
All right. So, well, since we both overlapped on that, my second one from Dark Horse, and it's an actual trade paperback, and I'm trying to flip here through to it, and I'm going to totally mispronounce the name, but it's the Ring of Nibelung.
Okay.
So it's looks to me to be a Norse myth, or the Ring of the Nibelung on page 113.
Okay. Ah, I see it now.
One of the grandest stories of Western civilization. Giants plot against gods, who in turn tear human lovers apart, while the lives of great warriors are ruined, and murder after murder is committed in the name of love and gold. It's the epic as it was meant to be. So, looks like it's based on Norse or North mythology, and I really like the art style, and I'm actually probably going to pick it up just because I've been on a Norse mythology, kick lately, because I've been reading some stuff about Tolkien's influences for The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbits. And it's going back to his studies of Norse mythology and finding some old manuscripts that were translated in the late 1800s and this big movement in the 1920s and the 1930s about Norse myth and incorporating it in the stories with him and C.S. Lewis. So now I'm all on the big. But it looks like it's Ritter Wagner, so I guess that opera, The Ring Cycle, is based on it?
Could be, yes.
And I've always heard interesting things about that, and I've never read it or got the synopsis on it, so. Wanting to get this and dive into some European mythology.
Okay, well, my other Dark Horse choice is back on page 107, The Whispering Dark, written by Christopher M. Gard and Tomas Arya. And solicit on this is, an army pilot confronts a supernatural horror in this thriller in the tradition of Lovecraft's All the Mountains of Madness and Coppola's Apocalypse Now. that's quite an amalgam right there.
Yeah, they almost had me at the Mountains of Madness. I almost picked this one for that. But I think I'm still going to get this one also, because that is a interesting smash up.
Yes, it is.
And it's got a pretty nice cover there. How do you like that skull on the moon?
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
So, all right. So I guess that's our... Four from Dark Horse. Is there anything else that kind of like didn't quite make the cut that you found interesting?
No, I didn't find anything else in there that really intrigued me.
All right, so I guess we're going into the DC now.
Yes.
So this means I got to get my little supplement catalog, because it's not in the main previews catalog anymore.
Yes.
All right, so for my first one, and this is going to be a little odd, I think. So I'm actually going to pick all three blank comics on page 4 and 5, which is the Trinity. So you have a Batman blank, a Superman blank, and a Wonder Woman blank, where it's a blank cover and blank pages. And the pages that are there are divided up into comic book panels. So, maybe you could just plot out a story, go to conventions, and get artists to fill out each panel.
Well, what this is print is released in conjunction with is 24-hour comic day.
Yes.
And I noticed this is something that's been going on for a number of years, where it's challenging people, creators or whoever, to do an entire comic book in 24 hours.
Yep.
Write it, draw it, ink it, color, doing everything it needs to be, lettering, everything in 24 hours. So this is sort of, here's your chance. If you want to participate in 24-hour comic book day, you can do a Batman comic or a Superman comic or a Wonder Woman comic.
Well, no, you can put anything you want in them. They just got like the title.
True.
And it's 16 pages, so. But I don't know. Actually, that's the first I've heard about the 24-hour comics day. But I've never seen completely blank comics before, and it's all on the 80-pound paper. So it just sounds like it'd just be great for, like, you know, fans to take to cons and conventions and just get some stuff done in them.
Yeah, interesting idea.
So while we were supposed to pick two, I don't know, I picked those three as one of mine.
That's quite all right. That combines. Well, one of mine is all the way back on page two, Batman Secret Files.
The Secret
Files. And they have written by several people here. Tom King, Jordy Belair, Rom V, Sherilyn Eaton, and Tom Taylor. On this, it says, delve into Batman's case histories and discover brand new stories by some of the comic's most exciting talents. So it's a compendium of stories by different creators, sort of centered around Tom King's writing.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Seems interesting. Yeah. Okay. My second one, which isn't too far off of that, is on page seven, which is Lucifer. I had the original series. Really, it was really well done. I read the second one, which was pretty good. So I'm going to give this third one a chance. I really liked the premise and the story on him. You kind of got to know the background from those series to kind of know where he's at now. But always enjoyed the character in the Sandman universe. And going to be intrigued to see what they do with it, especially if they've got Neil Gaiman kind of blessing everything. Now, it was either Lucifer or the Books of Magic, and I really like Lucifer.
All right. My second one is, it's on page three, Cursed Comics Cavalcade, number one.
Hey, they both have Batman on them.
Yeah, this is really strange looking comic book. This is also a number of contributors on writers, James Tynan, Becky Cloon and Brian Hill, Tim Seeley, others, and several artists. And it says, horror, death, face punching. Witness ten all new stories that promise to be the most terrifying, most shocking, and most horrific comic that DC has ever published. Hyperbole, yes. And I'm really intrigued by the cover because if you look at it, it's Batman and he's got this kind of zombie corpse around him and this woman is crawling out of another grave and it's marked Wayne. This is the corpses of his parents that are attacking him here.
Yep, because you can see the broken pearls around her neck.
Yes. So this has really got me interested. I'm not sure what all it's going to be, but I'm in on it.
Hey, I also noticed going through the catalog, do you see where that month DC's doing these enhanced foil covers?
Oh, nice.
Feels like the 90s again.
Yes.
So, interesting. So, yeah, so we both picked books that aren't in the main DCU universe.
No.
But those are all ongoing, and we kind of want to pick new stuff. So everybody knows the ongoing stuff.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking.
All right. Okay. Next into IDW.
I don't have anything before page 169, so if you've got something before that, you can go.
Well, I can only find one thing I was really intrigued by in IDW. Of course, now I'm flipping through and I see the Star Wars Adventures Tales from Vader's Castle, which seems intriguing. But I think these are for younger readers, which is why I kind of skipped over it. But they've got some interesting covers. And it's all got, you know, I've never really associated Vader with horror or with Halloween, but I guess so. The only thing I associate Vader with Halloween is because I had a Darth Vader Halloween costume once when I was little that I remember trick-or-treating in.
Mm-hmm.
Which I still have somewhere. Doesn't fit, but it's still in its original packaging. So I was a collector even back in the day. But no, the one thing I really picked, and it's one of what IDW is really known for, and it's one of their artist editions. And it's their Berkeley Breathed, however you want to pronounce it. Bloom County Artist Edition. Because I love me some Bloom County back in the day. And it's kind of online now, but that was my thing. And now they're doing an artist edition of it. And it's like, yes. So I bought my first artist edition last month. I kind of really like it. So I may start getting a few more of these.
Looks good. Yeah, I love Bloom County as well. That was one of my favorites.
So, what do you have from IDW?
I picked this one's kind of a strange choice. It's on page 169, Road of the Dead, Highway to Hell, number one.
Oh, I figured you was getting that The Beauty of Horror deluxe coloring set on the opposite page.
Maybe. But this is written by Jonathan Mayberry, artist by Drew Moss. An over-the-top wild ride prequel to George Romero's last film, Road of the Dead. So it's actually 40 pages at a price of $4.99. So it's a pretty reasonable price for that much content.
Yes, it is.
So that was the first one I picked. The next one is just flip over one page. This is the IDW Black Crown.
Mm-hmm.
Lodger number one.
I read through that. And I almost picked that. It's just, I don't know if my first thing with my first entry into Black Crowns kind of got me, didn't hit with me. And so I think all the Black Crown are like that.
I can understand that. But in reading this, I'll go ahead and read the solicit. It was written by David and Maria Lapham, artist David Lapham. But the solicit, a handsome drifter murders his way through the Midwest while hiding in plain sight as a travel blogger, leaving families in shreds and body bags in his wake. Ricky Toledo was 15 when she fell hard for Dante until he killed her mother and got her father sent to prison for it. It's 3 years later, and Ricky will not stop at nothing to get revenge. I have to say, and this is a black and white monochrome comic.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, of all the Black Mask books that have come out, this solicit has interested me most. I think this may be the most interesting, for me, Black Crown book to come out. I'm definitely going to try it. I've given too many of the others a go. I can't. I'm hanging on to Black Crown here to make sure, see if they're going to do something really good. And I think this may be a good one.
Well, you got to keep the streak alive.
Yes.
Oh, no. Looks interesting. I'll have to let you tell me what it is. You know, I might go back and try the Black Crown stuff and trade paperbacks, because it sounds like that might be what I need to kind of get myself over the hump with the Black Crown stuff.
Well, a couple of those definitely read better in trade, in my opinion. Kid Lobotomy is definitely better in trade. Punk's Not Dead might be more understandable in trade. So.
All right. Well, there we go. All right. Now I guess we go back to our big two. And we're going to get into Marvel. And I did not pick the cover, which is Spider-Geddon. Sorry. Nope.
I didn't either.
Well, being a big X-Men fan, I had to pick as one of my two. X-Men Black Magneto. Not because of the character, because of the writer. And who is that writer? Chris Claremont. How can you not read an X-Men title or an X-Men one-shot book written by Chris Claremont? Can't do it. Just can't do it.
No, I agree.
And you know what? You know, it looks like it might be good to pick up all the X-Men Black. So it looks like there's like 5 one-shots. So with Magneto, Mojo, Mystique, Juggernaut, and Emma Frost.
Sounds good.
So, yes, but you got to read some Claremont X-Men.
Absolutely.
All right. What did you get from Marvel? You're not a big Marvel reader, so this always seems
not
like
a big Marvel reader. Yeah,
kind of a challenge for you.
This one, first one I looked at, is Spider Girls.
Okay.
And the characters, it's just three of these characters: Mayday Parker, the original Spider Girl; Anya Corazon, the Prime Universe Spider Girl; and Anna May Parker, aka Spiderling. And this is written by Jody Hauser. And I have a feeling that Ronnie Barrett is now screaming into whatever listening device he uses for this podcast at my choice. But it kind of looked intriguing. Now, the thing about it is it says this is a Spider-Geddon tie-in. So, but I had to pick something, and that was it.
Oh, okay. So you don't have too many picks from Marvel.
I just have two.
Well, there you go. So my second pick is they are doing the remastered edition trade paperback of Marvels. So, this was written back in the day by Kurt Busiek, penciled by Alex Ross. Of course, does he really use pencils, or does he paint?
I think he's more of a painter.
Yes, he is. And he is a cover by Alex Ross. And I remember getting these, and I still have these in my personal collection. And they had acetate covers. But it's Alex Ross painting key moments in the early Marvel universe, like from the 60s. But from a photojournalist point of view. So you had somebody working for the Daily Bugle or maybe one of the other newspapers, and You know, the stories were told through him, you know, what he would see through his camera. So any big key event from Marvel in the 60s, I think you've got, there's some stuff from when Galactus came in Fantastic Four. There was when Gwen Stacy was killed by the Green Goblin. Spoiler alert. There's some X-Men stuff. There's when the Human Torch, I think the original Human Torch, not the Johnny Storm Human Torch, was doing stuff in New York. So it, you know, back in the day, it was, you know, it was a big event. I think it still is. I go back and kind of look at some of them just for the artwork. But they're putting it together in a remastered trade paperback. So 248 pages for $24.99. You know what? It's almost a dime a page.
Yes.
And it's Alex Ross art for a dime a page.
Can't beat it.
So, and it says it's the first time it's ever in this painstakingly remastered edition. So I'm trying to figure out how copying and doing computer editing is painstaking. But apparently it was a big effort for somebody.
Okay.
So that's my Marvel.
My other one was Typhoid Fever Spider-Man.
Ooh, getting on the Spider-Man train this month.
I don't know why, because Spider-Man has never been held much interest for me, but this looked a little bit interesting. It's Max Bemis, the writer, Stefano Landini on art, and it features this character Typhoid Mary is back in Manhattan, and it actually mentions Daredevil, so it may be a tie-in between Spider-Man and the Daredevil title.
Interesting, because I do know, I think the villain in for the new Netflix Iron Fist season 2 is actually Typhoid Mary.
Right.
So, but she wasn't originally a Daredevil villain.
Anyway, that looked kind of interesting.
Yeah. All right. So there's Marvel. Let's move on to Dynamite. So how hard was Dynamite this month?
Actually, it wasn't. I found two in there that are actually three.
Oh, really? Well, great, because I only found one, so we could do your three. No, my one I could find was the Lone Ranger number one.
Yes.
I got their original series back, I forget how many years ago, and it was great. It was a 25-issue series they did with Sean Cassidy covers and everything, and it was a really good read. It was like one of the first things from Dynamite I read. So the creator at that point in time and the writer really got into the heart of what the Lone Ranger is. And I'm hoping this can kind of recreate it.
Yes, I am too. In fact, I got to tell you, of all the books I saw in this month's previews, I may be most excited about this one. It just looks really good. It's Mark Russell writing, Bob Q, the artist. But on the solicit, this is what got me excited. 1883, the advent of barbed wire is creating havoc in the Texas panhandle. A corrupt state senator conspires with dirty ranchers to make land unnavigable for open rangers and native tribes, passing new laws allowing cattlemen to kill anyone cutting the wire. I think what got me really excited about this is it's based on historical stuff. I mean, that really was a big confrontation back in the 1880s when ranchers started using barbed wire to fence off their ranches. Mm-hmm. Because before that, the cattle drives would start off way down in south central Texas, and they would drive cattle up through the panhandle up to Colorado, sometimes to Kansas, where they would get them to the railhead where they'd go off to Chicago for the meatpacking industry. And so you had all these people who, that was their livelihood, these cattle drives, and all of a sudden ranchers started getting this barbed wire that allowed them to put miles and miles of fences that they couldn't do before. And there was a lot of bloodshed through this. It was a serious confrontation. So that's what got me excited. I'm really intrigued by this book. And the artwork looks...
Yeah, so is it a mini? Is it a mini or is it a ongoing?
I don't know. Couldn't tell from what they were saying here.
But yeah, I mean, exactly like you said, it's based on history. And it's, you know, who would think at the time, you know, nowadays that barbed wire would be controversial. But it really was. It was a pretty big thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I say, it changed the way ranching was done in the state of Texas and everywhere. And it, like most changes, it wasn't well received at first.
Oh, when is it? But at least it looks like it's not razor wire. That would come later.
Well, actually, the original barbed wire was pretty damn vicious from what I
Oh, was it? Doesn't look like
the bar,
it.
The barbs were like 2.5 inches long. So that was, yeah.
As being someone that has run into a barbed wire fence, that would have not have been fun.
No, it wouldn't. It would not have.
So, okay, what's your other two? Rainbow Bright?
No, the first one is way back in the first beginning. It's on page 184. Mars Attacks. And that just struck me as funny, because if you saw the film, you know what the film is like. It had Jack Nicholson in it. So I didn't include this, but this certainly gave me a chuckle when I read that. But my other serious pick was, it's on page 192, Miss Fury.
Oh, from the Project Superpowers.
Yes. And I'm not really planning on reading much of that, but this looked interesting, because the Miss Fury is certainly a... They call her here the original Catwoman, but I'm not sure about that. I don't think that's not right. That is not right, but the character looks just like Catwoman.
Well, the Catwoman from now, not the Catwoman from the 30s and the 40s.
Well, true. That is true. So that was somewhat intriguing for me.
All right.
Before we get out of Marvel, this is off the topic.
Marvel or Dynamite?
I mean Dynamite, excuse me. Damn it. Did you see the covers for that James Bond origin, number 2?
Yes, yes. I was wanting to pick that as one of mine, but it's like issue 2. But the covers. Oh, the covers.
I know. I am. You know I'm not a variant cover guy, but I want to get every damn one of these. They're so good.
I think I'm going to stick with the Mac. I really like the Mac covers.
The Mac cover looks good. For this one, I'm probably going to get... Yeah, probably the David Mac cover. Although that John Cassidy A cover looks good.
Well, the Bob Q cover looks good.
And the Bob Q looks good, too, so I don't know. But it's like, I'm going to go broke buying the covers.
Hey, did you see that link I sent you where you can get frames and you can put your comics into frames and switch them out? Because they're like top loaders?
I did.
That would be perfect for these.
That would.
So, yeah, those James Bond, yeah. The origin covers. I wonder if every one of them is going to be like that.
I don't know. The first two issues are like that, so they are really, really nice looking covers.
Some sweet, sweet stuff there.
Yes. Shall we go on to Boom?
All right, for the Boom. Well, for the Boom, I could only find one. So, no, actually, I did find two for Boom. So, the first for me was Sparrowhawk. Which is, I don't know, how do they say that on the, when you open it, it's like, Teen Victorian Fairy Fight Club. At first I thought, what the what? I'm not going to be interested in that, but then I kind of read it, and it's kind of better after you kind of, you know, that's not a very good one-line description, but it's, as the illegitimate daughter of a naval captain, Artemisia has never fit in with her father's family, nor the high-class world to which they belong. However, when she is targeted by the Fairy Queen and pulled into another realm, she has no choice but to try and save the world that has always hated her. So it seems almost like a Victorian, I don't know, fantasy, which, you know, I kind of, I don't know, when I think Victorian, I almost take the fantasy, I almost think it back to almost like Shakespearean fantasy.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm thinking about this. But, you know, I've always been interested in that part of history where, like, ship's captains or naval captains were just, you know, when they attained a rank, they become a part of the aristocracy and everything. So I find that interesting and everything. And you know, and the art very intrigues me too. So it's illustrated by Matthias Basla. So
right.
I think I'm going to be checking this out from Boom. And it looks like, she's encountering a basilope, I guess, or a jackalope. In this fairy kingdom, so, you know, you can't go wrong with a jackalope.
No, you can't. My other in Boom, because I picked that same one, Sparrowhawk, but my other, this is going to be off the wall, and this is actually not, this is an advance solicit. This won't be out until December. It's on page 222. I moved to Los Angeles to work in animation.
You know, I saw that, and the title intrigued me.
It's original graphic novel, and taking this to be, it's going to be very autobiographical of Natalie Neurigot, who is the author and artist. Because it says, when Natalie Nourgott left her life in Portland to move to Los Angeles and pursue a job at animation, she realized that despite her research, nothing truly prepared her for the wild world that awaited the studios in Southern California. So the artwork on this is very simplistic, almost cartoon strip-like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got variations. It looks pretty interesting. I don't know. I doubt that I will pick it up. But
well, you know what? It looks like she wrote it, she illustrated it, and she did the cover for it. So it's all her.
Yeah, it is. All her work.
Now, if you turn the page, you've got my second one from Boom, and it's the graphic novel hardcover, The Sons of El Topo.
El Topo, Volume 1, came.
And it just looks like a spaghetti western to me, and I love me some of those spaghetti westerns. So, El Topo was once a bandit without limits, a man with no moral compass, until his journey through the desert brought him to religion and enlightenment. As he became a holy vessel imbued with the power to perform miracles, he left behind his firstborn son, Cain, and brought forth the birth of Abel. Fueled by resentment and able to kill his saintly father, Cain begins the slow pursuit of his half-brother in a tale of magic and mayhem. So, it's kind of like based on Cain and Abel, and it looks kind of like a spaghetti western. So, it's, you know, very, very interesting to me. And it's actually an Archaea title, so I don't really, you know, an imprint, so I usually don't see much from Archaea since they got bought by Boom, but I really liked their stuff when they were independent because they put out Mouse Guard and some other stuff, so.
Right.
I like their stuff, and this is, you know, their imprint, so looks good.
Does. Okay, so now we move on to the back half of the book. I thought we finished all of our premier publishers.
Yes.
This is Everyone Else. So we've got like a dozen each we were going to do. So.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we got some overlap on some of these.
Probably. Although I've got some obscure ones, so I don't think we'll get a whole lot of overlap.
All right. So my first one, if we're going through the book, is from Action Labs. I've been trying to pay attention to them more, especially from because of Spencer and Locke. But
I know which one you're going to say.
At first, I was kind of like, eh. But then I read it was Albert Einstein, Time Mason, and, you know, and I've got a soft spot for secret societies, and I saw Time Mason, I'm like, yep, I'm all in.
Yes, this was one of mine too.
So, we'll see. I kind of like, I think that's kind of a thing now to take historical or literary characters and throw them in and do some kind of wild, fantastic stories with them. So.
Yes, Action Lab has done that, and a couple other publishers, but...
Yeah. And it's a young Albert Einstein at that.
Right. The solicit on this says, he's got the mind, the might, and the mustache. A roguish Albert Einstein leads a team of geniuses called the Time Masons in a battle to protect the integrity of our timeline.
Yes.
Marcus Perry is the writer, Tom Donnelly, artist on this. So yeah, ever since we've read Spencer and Locke, I've really been paying attention. Close attention to Action Lab and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, what's next on your list?
Next on my list is under Aftershock.
Oh.
Last Space Race.
Well, you know what? That's next on my list, too.
I thought it might be, knowing your affinity for science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Peter Calloway, writer, Alec Chabeo, artist. It started as an anomaly, an outlier in the noise that's so common in astronomical data, but the truth sends the United States and the world careening into what will become humanity's last space race.
Yeah, notice I said humanity's last space race, so I guess the planet's in peril.
I guess so. That looks good. That looks really good.
And then he's like, a fun-loving tech billionaire turned to aerospace titan. Who's that sound like?
I don't know.
So, no, looks good. I've been happy with a lot of the Aftershock stuff, and this looks like another just great title. You know, coming out. And plus, you know, the cover B's by Juan Doe. You can't go wrong with that.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. My next on my list is from Ahoy Comics. And you know what? My wife's from Baltimore, so there's no way I can pass up Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror.
We may get 12 identical things here, because this is my third one, too.
Oh, geez. You know, we're just going to have a special guest on, because I guess we're just influencing each other too much.
Well,
on these.
I didn't include it in here because of the limit, but that Captain Ginger, this is the second two titles that they're coming with out of Captain Ginger. That looks pretty interesting, too. But I'm very interested in Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror.
Yes. And what exactly is a snifter?
It's usually a drink that's served brandy, and it's shaped so that the fumes, the aroma of the brandy, can be savored by the nose.
Ding, 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 ding. You win the prize. But yeah, and I will be getting Captain Ginger also.
Yeah, I'm going to get everything Ahoy puts out for a while, because I'm really intrigued by what they're doing as a publisher. Because these are going to be not just one-shot comics. They usually have a backup story and some prose thing in there as well. So it's pretty much like a magazine almost of content.
Yep, exactly. So that should be, and it, I guess what it's going to be like an anthology.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, this one of the stories is sugary cereal meets vampirism in dark chocolate. So
yes,
yeah, some good stuff there. All right, so we're 3 for 3 and picking each other's picks. What's the next for you?
For me, on page 280 from Amigo Comics, The Blackening.
Well, that is on my list. I've picked a few before that, but yes, The Blackening. That looked very intriguing.
Massimo Rossi and Eduardo Mello. After the plague, humanity was forced to regenerate itself, replacing the bodies with sophisticated machines. The new technology that saved humans from extinction seems to have nothing against their innate cruelty. So, looks very good. I haven't seen a lot lately from Amigo that interested me, but this one does.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Yep. Made my cutting. So, yeah, if we go back a few, I'm going to pick one from Alterna Comics, Midnight Mystery #1. Follow the strange adventures of Detective Zeke King as he goes from case to horrifying case. In this issue, King's latest case goes from freaky to fatal when he's hired to find the lost son of a deceased horror host. The mystery begins in this new supernatural horror series. So it's a crime noir, supernatural detective story.
Yes, and I may get that.
And it's on newsprint.
That's it. Well, it's on newsprint, and it's $1.50 cover price, which means Cal Bunga will have it for less than $1.
Yes.
So I'm going to get that. Just hell, you're not spending any money. If you don't like it, then it's nothing out of your pocket.
Yep, exactly. So, but nope, looks good. And I kind of want to support Alterna. So I saw that, and it's like, you know what? I'm intrigued. I'm going to get that.
Very good. So, I agree.
Man, so we've gone through about 5 books, and we haven't even gotten out of the A's yet.
Oh, we did. We got into the B's under Blackening. Well, Amigo Comics, I guess you're saying, by publisher.
No, Amigo Comics.
That's true.
All right.
What else you got to catch up with?
Oh, no, I was wrong. That was the only one I had before Amigo, so.
Okay.
So once I kind of took it out, so. What is next for you?
On page 298.
Oh, 298.
From BBC Books. I don't know if you can really call this a comic, but I'm including it anyway. Doctor Who, the official 2019 annual hardcover.
It's a hardcover annual? And it's a prose book?
Yes.
But it's only available within the United States and U.S. territories, so the British can't read it?
I don't get that, because it's from BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, books.
But, available only within the United States and U.S. territories. And
64-page hardcover, $11, so.
Can't go wrong with that.
Nope. But that's kind of, not necessarily really a comic book, but that's, I saw that, it was interesting, so I'll put it on there.
Yeah, all right, so. Let's see. I don't have my pages marked like you. I must be totally... we'll skip through the boundless. Let's see. I'm in the D's and under Darby Pop Publishing. Frank N. Stein, Private Eye. So this is a hardcover for 64 pages for $19.99. But Frank N. Stein has the face of a monster, the brain of an inquisitor, and the soul of a poet. Currently, Frank ekes out a living as a private dick on the streets of Munstertown. A place where all the fictional characters in the world coexist. Whether you're a fairy tale princess, a superhero, or a mythical beast, everyone has a secret. And for a few dollars and a milkshake, Frankenstein just might be willing to unlock yours.
Going back a little ways before that, back to Black Mask.
Uh-oh, Black Mask.
Sex Death Revolution by Magdalene Visaggio. This is on page 302.
Mm-hmm.
Still reeling from the sudden collapse of her coven, Manhattanite sorcerer Esperanza tries to rebuild, but everyone in her life is saying she's done and said things have never happened. Terrible thing. But I'm looking forward to this. I'm really enjoying everything that Magdalene Visaggio has written. I think she is poised to become one of the next big names in comics to break out, kind of like a Cullen Bunn or a Donny Cates. I think she's that good, and I think that we're going to be seeing a lot from her in the future.
All right, good stuff. All right, so I guess we're going to have to skip a bit for me, and I'm going to pick something from Fantagraphics.
Okay.
And
I'll go ahead and put another one of mine since it's before that.
Oh, okay.
This is under Dover Publications on page 324. This is an art book. The Art of Alfredo Alcala, Secret Teachings of a Comic Book Master.
Hmm.
Alcala was a... Well, I'll just read this. In the late 1960s, an extremely talented group of Filipino illustrators took the American comic book industry by storm, and Alfredo Alcala led the way, working for both Marvel and DC on such popular characters as Conan the Barbarian and Batman. So this is a soft cover, 112 pages, $15, put out. And it's put out by Dover Publications, which publishes a lot of art books and, mm-hmm. and art instruction books. And I thought that one was intriguing.
Well, that's kind of leads into what I picked. And so on page 335 from Fantagraphic, I was trying to pick between the two. So I was going between Jim Osborne, The Black Prince of the Underground, but I settled on The Crumb Compendium.
Okay. So did I, actually. So
344 pages of Crumb. So he's just got a unique and very distinctive and instantly recognizable art style. And it's just, I kind of now like to go back and read and find out stuff about him. So, you know, it's underground comics before, you know, not indie comics, but what was not mainstream before indie comics. So I think it's just a good part of comic history, and Crumb was a very big part of it.
I love Crumb's artwork, even though some of his subject matter is just strange as hell.
Yes.
And his idyllic rendering of women is not standard.
No, it is not. All right.
Now, this isn't a choice, but also on that page, just a reminder to everyone that Love and Rockets Volume 4, Number 6 is out, too, in October.
Oh, only $4.99.
Yes, that's for magazine size, so it's 36 pages. That's a reasonable price.
Mm. Nice stuff.
And even if it wasn't, it's Love and Rockets, damn it.
All right, well, all you got to do is turn the page and you get my next pick.
Okay.
And my next pick is Last Pick, Volume 1, from First Second, or is it :01, First Second?
It's just called First Second.
So that is a bit confusing on their title. But anyway, Last Pick, an alien abduction has left behind only those younger than 16 and older than 65 or too disabled to work. In other words, people who weren't a threat until now. Twins Sam and Wyatt are ready to chuck their labels, break free from their captors, and inspire others to do the same. It's time for the last pick to step into the game. So, this, you can get it in the soft cover or hard cover. It's collecting the issues and all that. But I find that intriguing where the aliens came and abducted all the able-bodied humans. And now you've got the story of those that were left behind or just weren't, you know, picked to go work the salt mines or whatever it was for the aliens.
Right. Very nice. Well, if you flip a page over to 339, you'll get my next one. From Gallery 13, To Build a Fire, the graphic novel.
Mm.
Christophe Chabut, Jack London. This is a interpretation of Jack London's short story, To Build a Fire. My favorite short story of his. It is really, really intriguing. Sparky would like this. I know Sparky would like this. But
is it a slow read? Oh, it's a short story, so it gets done quick.
No, it's not a slow read. No, not at all. It's one of the most compelling stories you'll ever read.
Ah, okay.
So what is one of your next ones.
Okay, on page 371 from NBM, of dust and, well, of, well, that's interesting. So the book, the title on the book on the picture is Of Dust and Blood, but the title listed in the description is Of Blood and Dust. So, but it's the Battle of the Little Bighorn. So by the artist creator of Howard the Duck, this thrilling tale details the days of the Battle of the Little Bighorn through the eyes of Greenhaw, a 7th Cavalry scout on one side of the battlefield, and Slowhawk, a young Lakota warrior on the other, featuring appearances of Sitting Bull, G.A. Custer, and Crazy Horse, as well as generous portions of meticulously researched history on every page. The book's art has been lauded as tremendous, beautiful. Each panel and page could easily be a piece of solo art hanging on someone's wall. So another historical graphic novel hardcover. You know, it's only 48 pages for $17.99, but again, the American West and, you know, a famous moment or well-known moment in U.S. history.
Very nice. Okay. My next one is on 385. Do you have anything before that?
Oh, 385. I don't think so. No, I do not.
This is another one. Sparky, you'll like this. The First Man. It's a graphic novel. This is another interpretation of a prose novel by the philosopher-writer Albert Camus, the existentialist. And this new illustrated of Camus' final novel tells the story of Jacques Commeret, a boy who lived a life much like Camus' own. Yes. This is a hardcover, 184 pages, $26. So, I don't know. It looked intriguing to me. Camus is a tough read, but I think this may be a little different interpretation of it.
Yeah, maybe a little easier to digest.
I'm thinking probably so, yes.
All right. So, if we move on to page 392, under the Rebellion / 2000 AD, so now we're into like a British magazine comics, Black Max Volume 1. So now we're into World War One. So I'm really, this month had a lot of historical comics and graphic novels in it that I found interesting. So Ace Fighter Pilot Baron Maximilian von Chlor is the scourge of the skies, menacing the Allied forces during the bloodiest battles in World War One. Skilled, ruthless, and in possession of two giant mutated king bats who fight by his side, von Chlor, a.k.a. Black Max, is almost unstoppable. Only the brave pilots of the Royal Flying Corps, including Lieutenant Tom Wilson, opposed to Black Max's complete dominance of the air. Thrilling supernatural war comics from the pages of classic British comics, Lion and Thunder. These were originally published in Lion and Thunder, which I am assuming were British comics. And it's supernatural World War One. So you got a triplane Fokker and other, looks like, you know, propeller-propped planes, but they've got supernatural-like allies or powers or spells or whatever with them fighting in the skies over Europe. So I find that mashup interesting.
It is.
So, and I'm also curious about what a mutated king bats are.
Okay, so how many books have you gone through? I've lost track. I've done 10. I've got 2 more.
I've got 2 more.
Okay.
It's like we planned this.
It almost is. It almost sounds like we're organized.
Wow. Organization.
All right. Well, my next one, this is on page 396. This is from Scout Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Monarchs, number one. And on the solicit on this, welcome to the planet Vida, a euphoric haven of resources. The sentient race inhabiting Vida depend on the strict leadership of their rulers for guidance. 4 young geniuses are tasked with discovering and instituting an ideal method of leadership to make this utopian society the inhabitants wish to create.
Yeah, I remember looking at that and reading that and thinking that could be interesting.
AC Medina, written, art by Fernando Pinto.
Could be. And actually, my next one is on that same page, but I'm up there with Saga Press, where it's the Books of Earthsea, the complete illustrated edition. So it's a prose book. So it's 1,008 pages for $59.99, but, you know, it kind of brings all the Earthsea novels together and they're fully illustrated. And I don't know, I think these were written in the 60s and I just have a soft spot for science fiction and fantasy written in the 50s and the 60s, and I really enjoyed Earthsea when I first read it, and they have a complete illustrated edition.
Mm-hmm.
I think would be nice. So, I mean, it's got a new introduction in it. So it's very, very, classic, you know, series, you know, represented. And I think it's going to weigh that if you haven't read it before, I highly encourage, if you like that genre, to go out and, you know, pick up some version of Earthsea and read them.
I agree. Okay. My last title then.
Are we going to be in the manga section?
No. This is a Vault comic.
Uh-oh.
These Savage Shores.
Well, you know what? That's my last one I picked.
This is another historical.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm saying this month was great for, like, mashup with, like, historical events. And just reading this, the synopsis for this, I'm just all in. This just, I've never thought of putting these two things together, and it sounds great.
Yes, I'll read this. 2 centuries after the first European ship sailed to the Malabar coast and made landfall at Calicut, the East India Company seeks to secure its future along the lucrative Silk Route. In the year 1766, an old evil now sails aboard a company ship, hoping to make a home in this newfound land, but he will soon find that the ground along the Indus is an ancient one with demons and legends far older than himself.
That just sounds so good.
Yeah. And Vault is doing such good stuff right now. This, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this.
Good, good. All right, so we didn't have too much overlap, just on like half our stuff.
Yeah. That just means that you and I know what the best comics are going to be.
Yes.
We're able to pick those out very simply. So.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to pick the gems out of the rough diamonds out of there. So, yes. No, but it's like, I did. After I went through, it just like, oh, historical fiction, historical fiction, historical fiction, historical fiction. Huh.
Yeah. And I'm not got no problem with that. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And that alternate history just is, yeah. I don't really count it as that. But no, some good stuff coming out of the independence things.
Yes. So there you go. So, that's what previews is, at least our take on it. For
Yeah. I think there's some gems coming out in October. It looks like a lot of the stuff was horror-themed for Halloween.
Yes.
And I think there's some free comic books coming out, but we'll probably, you know, maybe discuss some of that when we get closer to it. Because there's a lot of time between now and then.
Yes.
Kind of remember what's going to be out there. But I bet there'll be some versions of Rachel Rising.
Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Okay, well, do you have anything else? We'll wrap this up and let you go back to dusting light bulbs.
Yes, cleaning the house for visitors. It's that time of year when the family comes and visits.
I understand.
So, anyway, if you want to, like, tweet me while I'm cleaning, I'm at OotInger.
I'm at JForgets. You can tweet the show at BOTRComics. And please, leave us some feedback. Especially if you're liking this format that we're doing on previews.
Yeah, or any ways we can improve it, because I'm always open to improvement.
Oh, yes. And gosh knows we need it.
Ah. You know, I bet the comments going to be back is that this podcast needs more alcohol.
Well, you're going to have to pull the full weight of that for a while, because I'm currently alcohol-free. So.
Well, I may take one for the team then.
All right, yeah, you're going to have to.
All right, if that's it, good night.